Let me start with a word of prayer. All right, here's our new page. Some of it we borrowed from Sabbath Rest in reference to the graphics. We got the little book reader fellow over here from Holy Savoy. Down here, we have some new things. And this line here, even though it was Sabbath Rest, 1 John, Sabbath Rest in Hebrews, Sabbath Rest in Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, the whole scriptures is all the same stuff. We start out with Christ Jesus, receiving him as Savior, and we rejoice that he's our life, our one. We're born again. I have peace with God. My sins have been forgiven. I can walk. I can talk. I can be a Christian. I can fellowship. I can commune. And I am equipped to go out here and deal with the life God's given me. And then we realize that there's something else the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to bring me to such a mature, complete place of trust, reliance, and rest in my Savior, in realizing we're his house. There's a mature place to come to. There's a full assurance of faith and a true heart, that this knowledge of who I am and who what Christ has done for me and in me and the indwelling of God himself can bring me to a place of complete rest this side of going home to heaven, that we can also be utilized by the Holy Spirit as referenced in Ezekiel chapter 36. By his precious indwelling of his Spirit to cause me to keep his judgments and to do them, to be a radiant witness and testimony of such a wonderful salvation, not only throughout eternity, but even right now while we're down here on this wonderful little planet. All right, this is what the panel will look like every week, although these paragraphs will change. You see here in the blue, our first paragraph of study that we'll touch on down below. Right now, what we're going to touch on is introduce generally real quick the format and the context of how we're going to do this. Then we're going to come back and start with the first paragraph. All right, each time we'll have a paragraph. Now it'll usually take us 3, 4, 5 sessions to get through a paragraph because we have five aspects that we're going to look at as we dig deep into the paragraph. One of the things about it, though, is we're going to learn to keep it in context. It's not just the first paragraph of Hebrews, and there it sits. It's a part of a whole. It's a part of 13 chapters. It's Holy Spirit put it there first. It's the gateway into the content. Last paragraph at the end is the gateway out. You know, things like that. But it's not just a greeting. Hebrews first chapter or first paragraph is really not actually a greeting. It's profound in itself. It doesn't say hi, how are you? It just presents us with this son right out of the gate. And so we'll be jumping into it. But as you read the epistle each week or every other week or 4 or 5 times a week or however many times you do it, read through it and read through it and read through it and keep each paragraph that we're studying in the context of the rest of it. Because we've read all the way through 13, all of us at least once, and all that has relevance to what he's saying in the first paragraph and will lend content and meaning and intellectual grasp for us. And the Holy Spirit can use it to bring revelation and understanding to it, keeping it in context, as we would with the whole scriptures, but primarily the epistle of the Hebrews, and then sister epistles like the quad that I have mentioned, continue to mention, Ephesians, Colossians, Galatians, and also 1 John. One thing I want to say that we haven't done together that I mentioned last time, that at some point we will do, but as you read through it, ask and look for things like identification of the readers or the context of when it was written or to whom it was written or who wrote it and things like that. Even though that seems rather superficial and just background stuff that you start any study with, it does have import. So what's going on in the readers' lives is significant, and you read about it. You read about it in up later in the epistle in chapter 10, where they've been put under a degree of persecution. And the writer behind it, which, of course, is the Holy Spirit, assures them that God remembers the suffering they've been through and the love they shared for the saints and better things that belong to salvation, which in turn adds to the evidential evidence that it's written to people who know what salvation is. And you'll see all kinds of stuff like that peppered through. So we'll want to get into the reader's life a little bit because it's a benefit to us. We ourselves are Christian people in our readers of the epistle and find ourselves in a context that God's well aware of. And so things like that might be kind of relevant for us. All right, so that passage. I brought this chart forward. It's Jensen's chart from his Bible study on the epistle to Hebrews. And it's good structural. Even though we're not studying the structure, I want us all to keep it in mind. As you read it, you'll begin to see a structure. At least now you've already seen several warning sections. You're reading along, you got all this wonderful stuff, Jesus, high priest, or greater than the angels and all this. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit plops in there, boy, you better watch out though, or better take caution about this. Or you got to pick up your knees and straighten your arms and start walking straight, or holiness without which no man will see the Lord. You got some thunder and lightning going on in reference to our relationship to God and our engagement in the life we're living and in this so great salvation that he's offered for us. And so it gets extremely serious. And you see these peppered at least 5-6 times throughout the epistle. And they're tremendously important. We need to know what comes before him, what comes after him. Why is he doing it? And what's the point? And how is it relevant to us? And we'll want to discuss those things. Since that lends structure, at least from a distance, you can see that. And then we have internal structure having to do with the first half you see in yellow up here. I know it's a bit small for some of us. But we see what we have in Christ Jesus, this so great high priest that's summarized in the middle section. And then because our so great high priest, and we have this stuff in him, in the things that he's done, let us therefore, and so forth, it's a exhortation activity go forward because of who and what you are now, having drawn near with a true heart of faith. With the full assurance of faith, having a true heart, and so on. Having, therefore, let us. And so you see three main sections and then the subparts. We'll talk about these as they become relevant to us in reference to our discussions. Any questions about that? So that's why that's here. Just to remind us of our challenge, all these red boxes are paragraphs and or parts of paragraphs. We don't care about the paragraphs necessarily. It has to do with the thought block. All of us know to a certain degree that our languages and the way that they're written and composed and so forth have division points. And usually it's by means of an end of a particular thought or groups of thoughts. And so God's thought blocks we're looking at as presentations to us by the Holy Spirit of a unit, of a defined content with parameters around it, like a building block, and then built in, situated in a building. And there's sometimes it seems, well, some are more important than others. In reality, if you took any one of them out, the whole building might fall. If you took Jesus Christ out of it, then indeed it would fall. But any one of these have to do with an aspect of his person. So sometimes we might not think, well, the content in this paragraph, it's not telling me a whole lot about Jesus or my salvation or the house of God or the relevance of his high priesthood or what in the world is he talking about bulls and goats and all that stuff for when I want to get on to some significant stuff that's relevant to me. But all of it is relevant and important, seen in its context. If we take our time, the Holy Spirit will be able to unfold that to us. So each one of these. All right, we got ourselves up to the first paragraph. I'm just going to go ahead and give you a glimpse of the following panels. We're going to deal with Hebrews block by block like this. In these five aspects, we're going to look at the main ideas, the key central points. Then we're going to summarize them and put them in a concise fashion by means of a bullet point, our own words summarizing the mains, and put them in a little box. You'll see it in the next page. And then we're going to take that in our discussion, in our engagement with Hebrews privately and then as a group, and we're going to assess what have we learned, what new knowledge, or do we have expanded applications? What insight does it give me to Christ or to the Father or to the Holy Spirit or to the body of Christ or me on planet Earth? however it is, whatever insights, it doesn't matter what they are, and we'll see, and if they pull out of this particular paragraph and or set us up for, well, this is good to know here, and I can see why he says something about it up in chapter 6 or chapter 7, and we might be able to start to put things together, insights. Then from that, we should be able to pull out prayers. As we study, and I think as you all know, as you've studied the scriptures, that the Holy Spirit will bring to mind things about our lives or things about us or others, everything from intercession to prayers having to do with a solicitation for wisdom and understanding, knowledge and instruction, as we see the Proverbs in the Psalms always crying out for that. And the wonder of that, or the prayers in the New Testament. And so from prayer and adoration, contemplation, intercession, thanksgiving, all the different aspects of Christian prayer that we know historically have been brought to us, we can incorporate in our lives. If you use Psalms and Proverbs on a daily basis for devotions, you see many times the aspects brought out in both the Proverbs and then also in the Psalms in reference to prayer is a living, engaged thing that isn't just one little focus. It has to do with not just asking God for stuff, but as we get to know him and as we walk with him, as Holy Spirit unfolds Hebrews to us, we'll be getting into the depths of his person and the reality of his purpose, this eternal purpose, and where our prayers are going to turn into things that are like appreciation. We're going to learn to appreciate God in our experience. So that's exciting. All right. And so then we'll get to, here's what the mains, the bullets, insights will look like. A practical aspect of this will be the mains page. So we'll have mains like this. And we're going to start with this one tonight. We're going to go back. I'm going to read from this and so on. We'll go back quick and then get back here. Our engagement tonight will be put into these boxes. So we'll highlight in the red bounded box in the text. We'll use colors to highlight things that we think, well, Jerry might think, oh, this is pretty important. This might be a main thought, main concept, a main phrase, something that's repeated that's there and must be significant. And so we'll start to do these, or Scotty will bring up something, or Jesse, and we'll highlight those, and then we'll put them together in words that we can understand as a group in the right panel, and then we'll try to reduce them down. We can put in all that we want, remembering we're going to aim for getting them into that small box of bullets down the road in a couple weeks ahead. So after that is the bullets, the same thing will happen, insights, and so on. And then towards the end, which is I want to jump to it here before we get into our study, because once we start, we won't get out, is the quad. So the quad, as soon as I can, there we go. The quad is the other epistles. I know we have many more epistles than this, but these particular epistles we've grouped together, and the primary focus of them is you don't have a lot of church stuff going on. What you really have here is the Holy Spirit using Paul, using the author of Hebrews, using St. John to work with the readers, the believers, to bring them to this place of maturity in Sabbath rest. Paul does it in a little different way than John. The author of Hebrews does it in a little different way. Author of St. John, in his epistle, what he presents us with is the experiential reality of being born of God. What's it feel like? What's it look like? What is it walking down the street? Hebrews, author of Hebrews, unfolds to us the person of Jesus Christ and what God has done indeed with him as the one who by the Holy Spirit is resident within us. And indeed, what is it that we're his house? And how has he done that? And he does away with he makes that wall that's penetrated by the enemy in and out and constantly with fear, doubt, unbelief, and misunderstanding of doctrine and teaching and all that type of stuff, solidifies it in the person of Christ, and then is able to bring us to maturity, to the full assurance of faith, and to the Sabbath rest. Ephesians and Colossians and Galatians also, but in different, unique ways, as St. Paul is, and many of the stuff he has done. We will now go back to the beginning. Any questions? That's kind of a quick overview. We've got plenty of time to get something actually accomplished tonight. Which would be a joy to have that sense of satisfaction, wouldn't it? All right, here's what we're going to be doing. We're going to deal with this paragraph. Now, I know tonight might be, well, I've never done it before, this and that. Well, that's just fine. We're going to work our way through. It might take us a couple weeks to take us. I think tonight we'll get the mains done, and then next time we can pull up the bullets. It isn't that difficult. If any of us in the history of our lives on planet Earth, in the United States of America, with our educational system, have gone through any classes having to do with the English language, we learned about topical sentences, verbs, relationships, meanings, main themes in a paragraph, and all that type of stuff. So we have, all of us have some of that to fall back on. But that doesn't matter, because as we focus on this and deal with it and engage, it'll just get easier for us. So here's a page where we'll be putting those things in, but I'm going to jump down to the page. Again, our mains will end up being put into this little box, but we're going to work down to the workbook page, which would be this one. What I'd like to do, if it's okay, is I'm going to read that paragraph twice. Then I'll start to hopefully engage us and provoke us, and we'll have, dead air for a while here and there or not. And we'll work together and just take our time and try to have fun with this type of thing. Again, now remember, 13 chapters are behind it. Behind that are the whole New Testament. Behind that is the whole scriptures. Behind that is historically 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ. Before that is 2,000 years of the church. Our brothers and sisters who have gone before us, who've engaged in this, and we have everything, doctrine, teaching, churches, church splits, church births, all this stuff going on. Well, what we're focused on is just the Holy Spirit dealing with this. Our concern for other people outside of our study is outside of our study, and it's for other people. Our focus is on this, the Holy Spirit dealing with us. We'll be of great benefit for other people if he's able to accomplish in us what he wants to do. That's, again, is what we're here for. So as concerns might come up for what about planet Earth, or what about this or that and so on, those can be fine. We can take note of them and throw them on the shelf for a while. We'll deal with them at some particular point. All right. Any questions? I will read it twice and then we can have questions. Hebrews 1:1, in many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He reflects the glory of God, bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs. In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs. All right, I read that twice. I know all of it, we can see that historically Hebrews has been avoided by a lot of people because it's seen, especially those that aren't of an Eastern frame of mind in reference to with some Judaic background type of experience and knowledge and so forth, the relevance of some of this, or it's difficult and things like that, or it's profoundly deep in some of its theology. And all that's true. but remembering that the Holy Spirit who's brought us to himself here to study this also is the one who lives inside of us, who wrote these, and he didn't write it to be misunderstood. He made it to be understood by a child of God and be relevant for a child of God. And we don't need a PhD to understand it. We need the life of God inside us and revelation from this Holy Spirit to unfold it to us to understand it. This is a divine unfolding of God himself here in what he's done and who he is. And we have been incorporated inside him and in his kingdom. And so we have all that common ground, some of which, of course, I know might be somewhat experientially unfamiliar for some of us. So let me start out and ask us as a group. Just, you can look through it rather quickly or can start with one verse at a time. But do you see things that might jump out that seem to be more important than others or be more significant? Or at least we want to make note of they're here, but in our discussion, I may want to get back to it. And so what's the topic of the paragraph? What's it about? What's the main focus? What's are words indicate its importance or something that extremely significant or unique? Another thing that might help us as we look at this and simply just the words, are there things that are repeated or somewhat uniquely similar but expanded that might indicate the main thinking the Holy Spirit wants us to get a hold of? So that being said, let me let that sit and bubble for a little bit, and everything's fair game. So I will wait and let us all participate instead of me gabbing on.
Well, I would say the key point would be he speaks through, you know, he started with the prophets, but now he speaks through his son, and who is the heir, and reflects the glory of God.
Okay, so.
So spoken to us by his son. So the son is important.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I threw he in because it's, as you were talking, it's he has. So we got two people going on here. We got, presumably, we could say God has spoken to us, as he says up here in the first verse,
mm-hmm.
to us by his son. We got three group. We got God, we got us, we got the son. And the, so I'll put a color on this and then another color on top to highlight it within that on the son. As you said, he's the important thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me do that.
I'm going to go next.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do it in, oh, that green was pretty. And then I'll do the sun with another one inside the green. I'll do that with a text color. So, and I don't know if we can see that. Yeah, we can. Okay. So he's spoken to us by a son. So all of us probably agree, right? That's pretty important. As a matter of fact, many people studying the epistle would, that'd be it. So, okay. Thank you, Scotty. Jesse, what you got?
Yes.
Okay.
You're up.
Mine is the hierarchy and power of the sun. And now I have to go.
Did you identify a particular word grouping, or were you generalizing in the structure? Is that what you were saying?
Hierarchy, that he's the heir of all things.
Oh.
He created the world.
Okay, so
expresses his power and position.
Okay, so aspects of this son. Okay, okay. Now, I'd have to highlight the whole thing, so let's see.
Or just highlight upholding the universe. That's pretty powerful.
Okay.
You can also add on there, where'd you go?
Go ahead.
I was reading it, but I got messed. I can't see it right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go. You can also add on there, he reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature, too. The Son does.
All right.
In verse 3.
This one? That one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that one we're going to pick up. Let's go with that. So, okay. So important is the Son, and then this is who and what he is. At least we're pulling that out of some main stuff. Holy Spirit wants us to see and take note of, right? We're all happy mm-hmm. with it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I guess I would like to throw out there that his work is finished. That after he made purification, he sat down.
So the sitting down?
Yeah, so, yep, sitting down. The work is finished.
So should I go made purification and sat down?
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, for sins specifically. So made purification. I'll put those in the same color, Adam. So do a nice gray's not pretty, but I don't think you can see some of these. Can you see the pink, you guys?
Yep.
The words? Can you see the letters?
Yep.
Okay. So then, and then what'd you say? Sat down?
Yep.
And where, I suppose, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okey-doke. Got four things going. There's another main one I'll throw one out. This obtaining a more excellent name seems to have significance because it elevates him above any other created thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know specifically in the chapter, we know we're talking about angels. We'll get into that in the next paragraph, and then the significance here is Holy Spirit wants us to know there's an obtaining means it's important in reference to that. So where's the name? Oh, I'll just put name he has obtained. More excellent. Oh, there's the angels right there. Okay, what color are we going to do here? No. Gray, I guess. All right. Now, if there's things other than highlighting, now things like Adam said, or Jesse said, or Scott said, Jerry, we can make notes over here that can help us in our thinking. One of the things about our charting, let me go up a page here. Thing about our charting is one of the things we're going to want to do in time to come, having finished paragraph one. Okay, now we're up in chapter four. Now we finished fourth paragraph of chapter four. Well, I need to review back. And so looking back for review, I can look at my insights, my bullets, and my mains and kind of know what our thinking was at the time. And later on, we may emphasize something different or see it from a little different perspective, which will happen quite frequently, and or we'll get a deeper aspect to it that we'd want to point out. And so notes that we make along the way can be helpful, and we as a group will be reviewing all of this like that. It's going to take us a while to get through Hebrews. I'm projecting along with some of the contemporary speculation that we're not going to be here anymore by that time. No, just kidding. All right. So if anybody has any things they want to jot down, I'm happy to do that. Let me read this through. Look at the highlighted stuff again as we go through it, keeping in mind the mind of the Holy Spirit. What's he pointing out? What's he emphasizing? Another thing to ask is, what's he doing using this paragraph to start a 13-chapter epistle with. This is stuff like you could save for the middle or for the end, having built up to it. Out of the gate, he expects we as believers to be able to relate to this, to understand, to comprehend, not to be bewildered by, but to be edified with and built up upon this rock by means of what he's showing, unfolding here. So keep that in mind. There's two things, the immediate and then what's the whole, you know, it's the first part of the epistle, but what immediate in the paragraph, and then for the whole epistle, what's this as a gateway into the epistle? What's happening here? What's he doing? How high is this epistle if he starts out with this? All right, let me read it. In many and various, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to throw out there that, you know, when you write a story, a lot of times you summarize it in the first paragraph and then you expound upon that.
Right, yeah.
The rest of the context of the letter or whatever you're writing. So I wonder if that's, I mean, the method that was taken here is.
Well, let's see.
They start out.
I want you to repeat that, Adam. We'll have that as a question here, because that's a possible authorial, the author is using that kind of style and or method, which if accurate, will come into play as we work through some of the other paragraphs. If not, it may be just useful here or later there. So you want to say that again?
Well, I was just saying that you started out with something that kind of summarizes what's going to be said in the rest of the letter, I guess the main point, and then it's expounded on further on in the letter. I don't know what words to use for it. I'm not an English scholar by any means. So.
Oh yeah, you are. Let me cryptically put something in here and then we can adjust it. As long as we understand it, we don't care. Is the Holy Spirit presenting content summary that he will unfold throughout the epistle, something like that?
Probably a pretty good way to put it.
Mm-hmm. Or, let me just add, unfold about this son. Kind of another twist to it. So, okay, so I better should make that bold and maybe you can't see it. And we'll use one of the favorite colors of the typer. There you go. All right, is that okay? Good. So is the Holy Spirit presenting a content that he will unfold throughout? Oh, then the question is, is this stylistic method? We don't want to use that for the Holy Spirit. Is this a method that he will continue to use, right? Just questions for ourselves to okay, let me read the epistle and you guys can take note of the colors and see if we got any more or if one just duplicates or are they unique things. Could we make a little list and have a little outline and submit it for approval at the appropriate time? In many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He reflects the glory of God, bears the very stamp of his nature, upholding the universe by his word of power. When he had made purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has obtained is more excellent than theirs. Well, a couple things jumped out, at least for me. We got that word. Uphold the universe power. That created power. What?
Oh, I was going to say what just jumped out to me was that it starts out with how he created the world. And then at the end, it ends with having become as much superior. So that indicates something where he went to a point where he wasn't.
Right. So my question, and again, now we can ask some of these. A lot of times in a Bible study, I want us to embrace the whole epistle, all 13 chapters.
Okay.
And so we know content later in the epistle. So question here is, the point you're making, Jesse, this having obtained, having become, and has obtained, and so forth, but before... He was a creator and so on, and Adam touched on those in weeks past, and you saw the emphasis later in some of our discussion of chapter 2 in the epistle, but we see Jesus and so forth. Here we do see this Jesus, not by that name. We see it by name of the Son. And so contained in this paragraph, we see the backdrop of what the Holy Spirit's pointing out to, of which the believers are in the experience of, about this Jesus Christ. And what is that in the context of this paragraph? What's happened to this Son that we see is put together in the same person here? What is it? What's happened to him?
Incarnation.
Not using that word, but we had created, and now inside of what was created, he has become and has obtained. Because as God, he can't become and can't obtain. In that context, necessitates the created order that indeed he made and upholds. And as part of, and not only a part of, but in it, he has obtained. Are you guys with me? So there's content behind what we initially see. Now, a lot of this, as we begin to and join these things together, we'll see down when we start to get into insights. Because then we're going to push behind what's on the surface. But this paragraph is awesome in its content. And so not only the incarnation, there's all kinds of other stuff in here pertaining to the person of the Son, and then the incarnate Son, and the Father, and the Holy Spirit. It's all in us, and it's all in here. We're in here. Where are we in here? Where's the handle in here, a tag for us? What's the most exciting thing in this paragraph for us?
Well, it looks like there's a couple things.
Okay.
One thing is that he's spoken to us by a Son, which tells us that we've heard his voice, or that he's made his word known to us.
All right.
And then the second thing is he made purification for sins.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We're right here. This is smack dab in our face. Gives us a Son. We can hear him, as Curtis said. Spoken to us by a Son. We want to know what he said and all that type of stuff and who he is and all that stuff. But what he did in the rationale of obtaining a more excellent name, all this type of stuff, purifications were sent to smack dab you and me. And then he sat down, which is tremendously significant and important. But anyway, so we're all here. We got it up here. God, us, the Son, as Curtis said. Down here, we got he, made purifications for sins. And so then we got intimacy and all this. But again, when we get down to insights, we'll start to see some of this stuff and engage more and push behind it. Right now, we want to have more discussion, push farther ahead, challenge ourselves with compressing this down into something that we can fit into that little mains box, which won't hold all of this, which is going to force us to try to digest this stuff. So let me give you a picture. I think I showed you the mains box. Yeah, we got to get that into this. I can make a little bigger one, but it'll be a challenge for us, and we are going to start doing that once we're done with the mains. Now, we touched on a couple more things of significance, but again, they might be related. If in one of these thoughts, I mean, you could stick it all into, he's spoken to us by a son. Well, what's he said? Him presenting himself actually is all of this, as the Holy Spirit indicates. But just by speaking by his son, you and I might know what we're sticking into that, but who else might? We don't know. But all this stuff, his speaking to us by a son by example, he speaks to us by a son. Verse 3, he reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature. The readers that heard about and or the readers that heard him, or 1 John, first paragraph, the apostles, from afar they recognize, he walked, he talked, he ate, he felt, he shared, he communed, he's eternal life, and so on, and he's walking with sandals and all that type of stuff, the fellowship we have, we want to share and all that type of stuff, first paragraph, first John, in all probability had seen him. So the author of Hebrews, we don't know if he saw him or not, but there's an identification thing going on. He reflects the glory of God and bears the very stamp of his nature. Well, he's putting that into a incarnate God-man body in this paragraph and telling us that he's telling us something about God himself by his being in the created order as the God-man. It's telling us something about the glory of God. The very stamp of his nature is all seen in that package. What's the significance for us? Do we see that in the package we're aware of and see and know? Has he risen and is alive to such a degree that that can be conveyed to us? Or do we kind of merge our spiritual mind of who God is and the Son is into one ethereal type of speaking to Jesus and speaking to God the Father and so on? And somehow the godness is somewhat separate, which wouldn't be the testimony of our creeds, of course, and our testimonies. All right. Anybody want to highlight anything else? Otherwise, we'll start trying to cram this into that little box. I'm going to highlight just one moment. He was appointed heir of all things. Again, this gets into theological debates that many have, and again, I'll give you some references to do some good study material in that in regard to. It's just not significant right now for our study in reference to interpretations of the Son as divine or the Son as the man, or is it the same one? And if it's the same one, is it the divine that became, or was he always? In all those types of debates, which have been endless over 2,000 years, as far as the church goes. I think we could do a dark blues probably. Oh, I'll just highlight, do a text highlight. There we go, do that. All right. Okay, we can use this space right here I'll make a little box here, and then we'll try to, again, reduce it down to a concise way to phrase it that we can get it into a box, maybe about the size of what bullets is. So I'll make one for us. All right. Put your minds together and see what we can come up with. Are there things we can put together that in some phrasing, it doesn't have to be a direct statement from the passage there, but convey the thought. I'll give you a suggestion in a minute if we don't come up with anything. Where am I looking here?
Start out with, the son,
okay,
who is, so like you would, so the son, comma, heir.
So kind of, you're going to do a list?
Yeah, kind of like a, you know how you do like, yeah, like a, in, you know, colons, or I do it by a comma.
Yeah, colons. So
son, heir, creator.
All right, let's get those down, yeah, and then we'll
kind of like the subject. So the son, heir, creator, and son, then
heir. Oh, let's go back. Okay. Heir, creator. God's image.
Yeah. And then the
upholds.
Captain.
Upholds.
Yeah, upholder of the universe, but that's kind of a long paragraph.
Well, just upholds. We should know what that is.
Okay. Right? Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like that. Upholds.
Right. And so then he.
Purification.
Or spoke to us, right?
Well,
okay. God speaks through. I don't know. That's all I got. I got the subject.
Okay, let's just, right. Just one comment in reference to he has spoken to us by a son. All the things the Holy Spirit listed during that time while he was on earth, he may have been speaking. But that isn't what the Holy Spirit's saying. By means of who he is and what he's done is God's speech. The Son speaking through who he is and what he's done. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody comfortable with that? It's,
yeah.
Yeah. And so that's, we can't narrow, God speaking has to be some articulate word. He is the word himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's who he is, what he's done, what he's like, what he likes, what he dislikes, how he does stuff. It's him. And we've got component parts of his being and his expression, his identity, his character, his disposition, his compassion. Why in the world would he make purifications for sins and sit down? His nobility, all kinds of stuff going on here. And again, we'll pull more of this out as insight. So, heir, creator, God's image, upholds. Where are we at here? Powerful by the word of his power. Is that one? I'll throw that one. I will. Powerful.
Purifier of our sins.
Oh, yeah. I want to put that in there. So, let's see, how would we say that, Jerry, if, let's see.
Now we communicates the purification, communicates the completed work.
Let's see. Let's try to get this together. The purifications for sins, and he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on High. Actually, sitting down at the right the Majesty on High could only be accomplished by, give me some tolerance here, capital M, capital A, capital N, by God's man. And God's man could not sit down, be crowned and sit down unless the then mankind had been resolved, or another biblical term would be reconciled. So purifications for sins is explicit here, but it's a description of how he reconciled. It's so sitting down necessitates that had to be done and accomplished as the epistle unfolds to us. But at any rate, we could separate those. So purified and sat down, but do we have it? No, sins is important, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, we don't have to. We don't have to use these terms. We can come up with our own. I'm sorry.
Or redeemed.
I was thinking we could use reconciled or redeemed or salvation, when we say his finished work, a lot of our contemporaries would be just happy with, well, that means he gave his life for my sins. That's his work. That's why he came, many would say. I think we're getting more in that in this paragraph right away. But purifications for sins, sat down to the Majesty on High. So if redeemed has that, redeemed doesn't necessarily have the sat down part. We could understand purifications of our sins, but does redeem, when we use redeemed, we're putting a lot in that term, to most all of us, if you hadn't seen this paragraph, think of the word purifying sins? Or do we think of redeemed as purchasing? You know, that's normally where folks go. You know, purchase from, redeemed. There was a transaction. Or reconciled, mm-hmm. You know, there's peace with God. You can't have peace with God. The sins have been taken care of. So we know then peace with God, I have peace with God. Well, I've been reconciled. I experience peace with God. My heart cries out, Abba Father. So there's all kinds of stuff behind these initial terms. Each one of us bring a little bit different understanding or content to how we might say it. If 6 months from now we can't come back and look at what we wrote, we might not get what's being conveyed, or we might. Go ahead, Curtis.
Well, it seems to me that the word purification, made purification for sin, goes a lot further than most of them other words you're using.
Yeah. It's right. It's focused.
Yeah.
Exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And every Christian person knows the ramifications of that having been done and what was necessary. Maybe not to the degree that the Holy Spirit's going to unfold to us in reference to death, blood, you know, all that type of stuff, eternal purpose, all that stuff. But purifications for sins, at least in the content of the Epistle of Hebrews, you know, if you look ahead, well, it's not goats and bulls and that kind of blood. It's the blood of the Savior. It's an eternal covenant, and all that type of stuff. The made part, purification is one thing. The made purification necessitates his engagement himself. So, I guess we should have this in purple too. What would you, is there a suggestion, Curtis, in reference to, I guess I'd agree. Anybody agree with Curtis there that purification is the heavy one?
Yep, I agree.
Yeah. Well, the other thing for, well, we don't want to get too deep into this because we'll be getting into that as we move along, but the he had made purifications for sins. I think we got room to, we're almost done with the whole page here, so. Made, right?
Mm-hmm.
Made purification. I'll just leave out four so we get a little more room. And then we got to say sat down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What else you got?
Finished. Work was finished.
Finished work?
Yes.
Obtain name. Obtain excellent name. Or no. Gotta the more, even though you know you don't think it's very important, Marky, but the more excellent elevates it up, I think Jesse indicated earlier that aspect there. Mm-hmm. Name that he has obtained is more excellent. Oh, let's say name above all. How's that? All right. That's a good summary to start with, I think. To see if we can get into that box. I will copy it. Bring it over to the little box. Take out a hammer. I don't know if it'll go out. All right. Wait. I can put it into that one. What color would we like today? No.
Pink.
Well, all right. Everybody gets a vote. I don't see a pink. Orange?
Right. Go back to your gold.
The gold?
Yeah.
Can you see it?
No. The gold, not the yellow.
Gold. You mean there's orange? That?
Sure.
Okay. Why don't I make that box a color? I love that. What would make that stand out? A black?
Mm-hmm.
There we go. All right. So sun, air, creator, God's image, upholds, powerful, made purification of sin, sat down, finished work, obtained name above all. So you didn't need all these words over on the left. We got it all right in there.
You gotta fix your error on finished. Push finished forward up to the comma.
Did I mention that it isn't necessary to be picky on these studies? Did I say that?
No, you never did mention that.
I'm sorry. Thank you. All right. You see any other stuff we got to fix? Okay. So that's the first one. Now, next, what time is it? You guys mind if we end early? Actually, it's not that early.
This is late.
Oh, it's late.
Yeah, it's late. Yeah. Next time we'll do the bullets. So what we're going to do is know what's in the paragraph on the left and what's in the main box. And we're going to compress it even more to like a header that would somehow and make sense. It's not going to just be words that are words that just don't work with each other, you know, kind of like a phrase. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a little harder for us. Mm-hmm. We'll do that. And I think we could then maybe try to get into insights. And with these introductory paragraphs, as we start to do it, we'll come back to these probably later on together. Because they'll start to take more time for us as we get more comfortable with what we're doing. All right, so then read the epistle, if you could, as many times as you can, at least once, if not twice, if not every day. And then we'll be in this paragraph for several weeks. If you can read the epistle once, that'd be great. If you can read the epistle once and then just read chapter 1 as a standalone, because that's kind of a package deal where everything works together and will be a natural extension of this particular paragraph with the content that he references here. All right. Let me go down to the bottom real quick. I have several things that in point of reference, this was on stuff that you could study in regard to interpretive lens, hermeneutical lens, introduction to Hebrews. Now, I also have, here's a summary of the book of Hebrews. It's an animated, it isn't very long, and it's kind of nice. And they also do what is the Bible and the story of the Bible. And just background in the sense of kind of refreshing looking at that stuff. It's rather generic in its context but functional. The inductive book study is an introduction, and then there's an introduction independent study to do an introduction, and I'll just show it to you if somebody's interested. And which is down in it's an independent study that segued off of my teaching Bible study stuff, but here's it's about 10 pages of who was the writer, questions you ask yourself, and you could read, well, who was the writer, and then when you read it through once, you could have these several questions in mind. Name of the writer is not so important, but more of his personality and so on. What's the character of the writer? What are the feelings and concerns of the writer? Try and imagine the writer's state of mind and circumstances. So does the author of Hebrews or the personality and content of the Holy Spirit in reference to the character of the Holy Spirit come through in a stern fashion, a fatherly fashion, brotherly love fashion, a lecturer, presentation type of thing, like some people would throw Paul into? So they come across like John does in his epistle, and what's that do to the, what's the tone and the atmosphere? And that kind of stuff will help you get used to that, because we bring that type of what we presuppose without thinking about it to the content. of the epistle. So these might provoke you a bit. And the next one, of course, is what's the historical context? Do you get anything from the epistle? What's the reason it's written? You can see things like that. But who's the writer? Who are the intended readers? And some questions. And so that's what this is for. You can use that to get to it if you'd like. You don't have to. And that's just something that's there for you to utilize. And so those were new. I hadn't had up there. So, all right. Any questions, you guys? All right. So really, it's just focusing on Hebrews. And if we have things to do outside of us getting together, it's just focus on Hebrews. And we'll be in this paragraph now for three, four sessions. So we'll get to know it pretty well. If you do have time, it's just for those that are overachievers, is that you can memorize a paragraph. Now, I don't mean necessarily word for word, but thought for thought. And so you could ask questions about it as you look at it. And so like in many and various ways, God spoke of old to our fathers. Well, and then ask questions. What's being said here? Who's involved? Okay, then move on. And who, what, why, where, when, and how questions will help you engage the paragraph, get into its content, get behind the surface of it, and also personalize it to such a degree you'll start to get to know. Actually, you do that for any length of time for some of these paragraphs. You'll start, and believe me, I know a lot of people don't believe me when I say this. You actually feel the Holy Spirit. If you have minds that are maybe you think don't function that well, he'll start to make them function better. And that's an aspect of the renewing of the mind. Our minds are being washed and engaged with God's thoughts and God's mind. If he's who he is, as we know, that's a pretty effective way to discipline yourself in reverence to cleaning up our messy minds. Not any sarcasm there. Okay. Any questions? I will close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our study tonight, for the joy of coming together. We thank you too, Lord, for our minds and, Lord, our reason. And we thank you for the ability to read and to engage and discuss. And each one of us come with content and presuppositions and understandings of words and meanings. What we all have in common, you, dear Holy Spirit, and your residence, we have in common the wonderful aspects of your wisdom and the ability to bring revelation and understanding to us. And we come and wait with joyful hearts for you to unfold to us the joy of life with our Savior and co-sharing your Spirit, your life, same Father and same Spirit, same brothers and sisters, now throughout eternity. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That's all, folks.